This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I can't really buy into the narrative that the Mets choked, because when they were up by 10 and a half games, I believe they're 63-44 since then. That's not choking. Now, you want to really be nitpicky? They didn't really take care of business against the bad teams. And so that put them in a situation where they had to win at least one game this weekend. But you play to that level and you just have to win one game and you couldn't do it? Well, then you're not good enough, right?
No, see, that's ultimately how I feel, is they lost to a better team. And they were the better team in the second half of the season. But still, after they took 4 out of 5 from the Braves in August at Citi Field, did you ever dream that this team wasn't winning the division?
No.
The Michael K. Show.
It's still colossally disappointing.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Jets win, Giants win, Mets lose, Yankees lose. So, wasn't it last weekend when they all won? Well, now they all lost. Next up for the Jets is going to be the Dolphins at MetLife. So David Veronis tweeted this out about Tyreek Hill, talking about the Jets' pursuit of him in the offseason. Quote, it was very close to happening. It's just those state taxes. Here I am in Miami. Why is it so difficult in a sport that prides itself on being socialism, really, where every team is equal, that you do not make concessions for states that have high state taxes? Why should Florida have such an advantage for a player to go there and make however much percent more on a $20 million contract? You are putting teams that are not in those states at a distinct disadvantage. There should be a formula that everybody is on the exact same level.
It does seem like it's an easy fix too, right? Not only is it a fair thing to do, but it's also an easy thing to do.
You would think so.
Everybody's supposed to be on equal footing. That's what the NFL says. There is no different from one franchise to the next as far as competing in free agency. Except Florida has no state income tax. And what's New Jersey at, like 11?
Oh, it's terrible. You know, California's terrible.
So Texas and Florida work at a distinct advantage. Now, have we seen that manifest itself during the salary cap era? Cowboys haven't won, all right? Texans haven't really come close to winning. I mean, did it help the Spurs back in the day? Did it help the Rockets? I'm just trying to think do we have enough evidence to say it really works?
Well, you would probably think that not. It would really work in a non-cap sport, like in baseball. I mean, would Seager and Simeon have gone elsewhere because their money is worth a lot more in Texas?
True, but even in a cap sport where every offer is equal, well, it's not equal.
It's not equal.
You know, the New York teams and in hockey, the one New Jersey team can offer the same amount of money that the Panthers or the Lightning or the Magic or the Dolphins or any other team can offer, but it's not equal. But it seems like it's a fair fix. Like, I wouldn't think anybody would argue about it. And I would think it'd be an easy thing to do. Just create the formula. This is how much it's worth in Florida. This is how much it's worth in Texas. And then you put it to whatever the state tax is around the league.
But what do you base it on? Like, average cost of living in each place? Like, what numbers do you actually use?
The tax is the thing.
Just the taxes.
Right.
Because Florida and Texas have zero. So is that fair?
Oh, right. So just apples to apples on the taxes.
No, it's not like a house in New Jersey costs more than a house in Florida. Because
your money also gets you further in Florida in addition to the no taxes.
I get it, but the major part of it, what every player ends up talking about at the end of the day, is the state tax.
Right, they just don't want to give it.
It's more than 10%.
So here's the easy fix. Giants and the Jets, when they make an offer to a player, and that player is also being wooed by a Florida team, well, the Giants and the Jets could add 10% more to their offer to cover the tax, and it would not go up against their cap. Right. Easy.
Now, this is a four-way into this conversation. But that's not why he didn't come to the Jets.
You're not buying it?
No. He was not going to the Jets.
I'm sure it had something to do with it.
I don't think it was ever happening. He was going to Miami, Michael. He doesn't want to tell people that he hated the Jets on the week that he's going to play them at MetLife Stadium. So get an easy landing saying, oh, it was the state tax. Don't blame me. I really don't believe that there was ever a thing. Ever a thing. And I think the Jets knew that to drive up the price for what Miami had to offer. I really don't think it was a thing. I really don't believe. I don't have evidence to that. It's just my feel that this, that it was orchestrated for him to go to Miami from the get-go.
I don't know.
And the Jets were used.
And also, since when does a guy like Tyreek Hill get, you know, very quiet that he doesn't want to aggravate the Jets? He would just say it. I don't want to go play there. But he's the one who brought up the taxes.
No, I just look look at his agent and who his agent is, and he's the Scott Boras of the NFL. So I just think it was orchestrated to go to Miami at the time.
But, I mean, why would you say it right now going into this game if it wasn't true?
Right.
Like, it's sort of triggering. It's sort of talking trash to some degree. Why bother? Why not just keep it really peace and be like, nah, you know, listen, it's a great place, but
no, but people, he knows he's going to get asked, why did you choose Miami over the Jets? He's going to say, well, because I'd rather play in Miami. I don't like New York. Sure. I don't like their quarterback. Or is it just easy to say, no, it's taxes, man. Wasn't going to happen. Yeah, who's going to get mad at him for that?
Since when do players take that route? They usually say whatever pops into their mind. All of a sudden, he's become judicious with his words.
But I also don't think, Michael, that it wasn't something that was there. I just never believed during the whole thing that the Jets really had a legitimate shot. I think he wanted to go play in Miami. There's a lot of other perks to play in Miami, too. Weather's really nice. There's a lot of reasons why the Dolphins would win the faceoff over the Jets that are non-football related. And I'm sure maybe the taxes are one of them. I just never really felt that was a thing.
Michael, you'd go to consider playing in Miami just to go to Prime 112, am I right?
You know what? I would actually consume too much bacon.
Oh, if I want to.
Is that a thing?
The bacon at Prime 112?
They give you bacon free at the bar.
Yeah, I just hand you bacon.
No, I'm familiar. I'm just challenging.
Oh, I think you could have too much bacon.
Well,
yeah.
Cholesterol and those things, but.
Sure.
Tom Stoner brings up a good point.
Sorry?
Sure. The tax thing certainly helped the Heat back in the day.
Mm.
He's right. Yeah. I mean, maybe the big three go somewhere else.
That is true. We assume, but do we know it was that versus everything else? You know,
is that right?
I mean, versus Wade had something to do.
Right, versus just D. Wade being like, come on, come down here, trust me, this thing's great.
Take care of y'all chicken.
True.
Listen,
thank
when
you, Marshawn.
When you put the pros and the cons, it's going to be in the pro category. I get it, or the con,
absolutely,
depending on how you look at it. But whether it's the sole reason or not. So you're telling me, Michael,
yes,
that if the Jets were the Kansas City Chiefs, all right, meaning they had that kind of quarterback, that kind of talent, that kind of coaching, he would say, no, the taxes are way too high.
Could. Mm. Hey, by the way, quick aside. On the plane yesterday, I was watching the Netflix special about the Malice in the Palace.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys get an hour out of your day, Jermaine O'Neal is one of the most impressive dudes I've ever seen.
Wait, this is Netflix? This is not the 30 for 30?
No, this is the Netflix.
Wait, no. This is like a year and a half old? I saw it.
It might be.
Oh, what is it?
Okay, yeah. Jermaine's awesome in that.
Oh, my
awesome.
Goodness. I mean, he's probably the one that was most affected by all of it. All of it. Reggie Miller ended up ending his career because of it and retired a year earlier, and they had a real chance to win a championship. But Jermaine O'Neal was a heck of a player.
I know.
And the way he was able to explain, I mean, Ron Artest comes off as somewhat troubled, let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Ron Artest does often come off that way.
Well, maybe he is. So I mean,
no.
That's
I think
light of it.
No, I'm not making light of it. I think he's sort of open. Like he's, you know, I think he's in a better place now. But he was certainly a mess back then.
But Jermaine O'Neal, I mean, I'm almost intrigued what he's doing with his life right now. He looked like he was sitting in a beautiful home. I hope he's doing great.
Well, he made a lot of money.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? He was a great player, especially for Indiana. But if you get a chance, I mean, talk about a guy who comes off great in a bad situation. Really, really good.
And by the way, I mean, also, just from a straight fight standpoint, the most impressive part of the fight. Let's just be honest. That guy came and squared up against Jermaine O'Neal and got absolutely leveled.
And, you know, one of the underreported things, David Stern was very heavy-handed. He suspended Artest for the rest of the year. Steven Jackson, 30 games. And Jermaine, 25. And there was no appeal because he was judge, jury, and God, David Stern. But then the prosecutors in Auburn Hills they exonerated all the players because they had different camera angles where the players had no choice but to fight.
Right.
It was really weird.
It really is fascinating when you think about that, like the pressure that the league felt they had to because the sacred sanctity, the safety of fans, right? But the truth is, it wasn't the players who put fans in danger. I mean, yes, Ron Artest, you can say, after being hit with a drink, went and put those specific fans in danger. But everything else that happened after that, yeah, what are you supposed to do? If you're Jermaine O'Neal, can you imagine the kind of psycho you'd have to be to run on the floor and try to fistfight Jermaine O'Neal during
basketball?
Somebody
also threw a chair at Jermaine O'Neal. He threw a chair at him. Anyway, I have the Yankees starting lineup here.
Thank God.
Now, I thought, I'm going to be fully transparent.
Please do.
That they would give Judge the day off.
No.
I really thought they would because you could see he's fried. So, I mean, giving him one game off tomorrow in the doubleheader, that doesn't mean anything. He's still playing. This would have been the day to take a breath, and if you use him as a pinch hitter, use him as a pinch hitter. But he's in the lineup. He's leading off, playing right field. Batting second, DHing is Giancarlo Stanton. Gleyber Torres will play second base and bat third. Cleaning up third baseman Josh Donaldson. DJ LeMahieu at first base will bat fifth. Batting sixth, playing center field Aaron Hicks. Oswaldo Peraza. That's Oswald Peraza. I'm sorry. The shortstop will bat seventh. Batting eighth and catching Kyle Higashioka. And Marwin Gonzalez in left field is going to bat ninth. So the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. They lose 3-1 yesterday. Judge strikes out 3 times. And, you know, there's some debate whether or not that he has had enough pitches to hit, right? And I think it's kind of a weird debate because why should the pitcher sign up to be a footnote to history? They should pitch him tough. They have no obligation to groove it. They should throw their best pitch, and if it's off the plate, it's off the plate, and it's up to him to swing and expand his strike zone or walk. So he's choosing to walk. Yesterday, you could see he expanded his strike zone, and the pitches that were hittable, he fouled back. That's why I could see it's affecting him. Do I think he's going to get at least one home run in this series? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. This is not a great Texas team. He should be able to hit one out. But to say that pitchers have, you know, the competitive, not right, but the competitive...
Obligation.
Obligation. No, they don't. And if anything, this is what I thought people would do from the All-Star game on. Why would you ever pitch to Aaron Judge back then when the Yankees had nobody to scare you in the order? So what these teams have been doing, we're going to pitch around them and let the other team, let the other guys hurt us. And Rizzo sometimes hurts you. Stanton hurt once. But the bottom line is no pitcher has the obligation to sit there and be a doofus and serve up a home run ball. Why would you want to do that?
No, they shouldn't serve it up, but it's just interesting how much it's changed. I don't know why it took so long to change. It clearly changed. Yep. From, I think I saw the stat where he, I think leading up, I forget exactly what the line of demarcation was, maybe up until he actually got to 59, where he had like 49% of the balls that he faced were hittable. And now it's like down to 31%. And his walks are way up. He's walked every game, Michael. Even yesterday where he struck out 3 times, he still walked. So clearly they're pitching him differently. Now, is there some obligation to challenge him or to serve up the homer? Absolutely not. Shouldn't be that kind of a situation. You just wish that they pitch him the same. And if I'm the pitcher, Michael, just from a competitive standpoint, I would rather pitch him to get him out and risk giving up the home run than be the guy that, you know, a starting pitcher that walked him 3 times. Because that just kind of comes across as like weak. Why am I walking him? Unless I just happen to walk him.
Well, you're walking him because he's the best player in baseball. Why do you want to get beat by him?
Well, because in some of these situations, Michael, your team's been eliminated. Pittsburgh was eliminated. Baltimore was eliminated the last 2 games of the series. Texas, they're done. You know, so I understood the Blue Jays situation. They needed the game. I don't want to be beat by Judge when I can get somebody else out. But, you know, leading off the game, well, I'm gonna pitch him to get him out, not pitch to him so he doesn't homer. I'm gonna pitch to him to try to get him out.
But if you're gonna try to get him out, the guy is 6'7", 282. He reaches all sorts of pitches. You're going to have to pitch away from him.
I understand.
You're not going to put a ball over the plate.
But clearly, the difference, he's walking way more than he was earlier.
Yes,
so
he is.
So clearly, these pitchers, it's not a game strategy. It's a strategy of not. I'd rather walk him than give up the home run. But by doing that, now I'm taking out the chance of striking him out or getting him the ground out or fly out. So I'm not mad at them for it, Michael. I'm just saying that we all can look at challenge in a different way. Are they pitching around him?
Well, that's
clearly they're pitching him much differently than they were if the exact same scenario was in the standings and he had 40 home runs instead of 61.
I guess I look at it like this. If he gets up to the plate, you're in a situation where intentionally walking him doesn't make sense. It's not you don't need to intentionally walk him, right? It's 0-0 in the fourth inning. You don't need to do it. And they do it on four straight pitches that aren't even close. To me, that's weak. However, Mike, I don't know how you feel. If you can tell that the pitcher is trying to face him, but just do it in a way where it's smart and not give him a meatball down the middle of the plate, that I understand.
Well, but I think
and if it turns out to be a walk, okay, it's
right,
a walk.
But I don't think it's a meatball either. I mean, you've seen that there's been some pitches. My guy, Paul outlined them all because he's been in that situation. But, well, he missed that one. Like, there was a couple. I think the true time where I really felt it has affected him in his at-bats was yesterday.
I love meatballs.
Yesterday, I really felt like he missed multiple pitches in multiple at-bats.
So do I.
There was a time where there'd be one or two a game. He probably had, I think, four or five, correct me if I'm wrong, hittable pitches that he missed.
I would say he had pitches that, I mean, definitely Paul thought so. Paul O'Neill thought so. There were hanging sliders that he missed, you know, pitches that he would destroy. And I think that it's gotten into his head a little bit. And I don't blame him. He's a human being. I mean, every time he comes up, every eyeball is on him. Nobody's going to the bathroom at that time.
It's probably reached really inconvenience point for him. Now, are the Marises and his mom in Texas?
No.
Maybe that takes it off a little bit, too, because that would bother me if I knew people were being inconvenienced because I haven't hit it yet. You know, no offense to Toronto. It's a beautiful city. I'm not sure everybody wanted to travel to Toronto to go for those three games to see him hit it, you know. So, and now they're not going to Texas, but he probably feel bad. Like, they schlepped Ulrich halfway across the country for me to hit this home run. I better do it. Like that. Because he seems like a genuinely nice guy, so it probably would bother him that people's lives were being affected by him not doing this.
I think he also wants to get it off his back. I mean, once he hits 62, then he could have days off.
Well, they're going to get the 5 days off anyway, right? So that's why I thought he would just DH all four games. Like, if the games don't mean anything, why should he even be in the field? Just give him the 16.
Well, they mean a little bit. They mean a little bit. A little bit.
Well,
if the Yankees win 100, and like, if they win their four games and win 101... Well, if the Braves lose their three games,
true,
then the Yankees would have home field in the World Series against the Braves. They're not going to have home field against the Dodgers.
Yeah, David made that point. I guess it was Saturday or yesterday.
Wow, you really watched, huh?
Well, what do you think? That's why I get so angry when you claim I don't care or don't do it. I try to consume as much sports as humanly possible with Twins, which I think is amazing.
I think it's impressive.
I mean, I would think most people in my situation would be in a fetal position. Not know their name. I'm telling you what's happening in games like this. Like this. Yeah. It comes to the expense in other places, but it works for the show. But
are you intimating the bedroom? Is that what you said?
No.
Oh.
I'm just like remembering important dates and things and, you know, maybe not knowing the way home and different. But ultimately, no, everything's working there as far as I know.
But, wow. Peter. All
you can do is you. Meaning that, like, I do the best I can. Anyway, that works for everything in life. Because mom's listening. She loves the show.
That's right.
But you're not taking a knee having Judge DH. And I don't think that you're going to sit there and game plan, Michael, for the possibility of facing the Braves in the World Series, right? So you want to do what's best for your team. He'd be taking off if he didn't have 61 home runs. I'm not surprised he's playing tonight because maybe he's got a chance to get it over. You figure he's not going to play both games of the doubleheader. So you get one day off and just give him the margin for error on Wednesday to try to break it. But give him his 16 at-bats. Let him DH all four. Is he? I didn't pay attention. Is he DHing tonight?
No, he's in right.
That's a mistake.
Well, if you're going to play Stanton can't play the outfield right now. He needs at bats. He's got to get right.
Okay. Don't yell at me. I mean, you make a really good point. But Peter,
he didn't have to yell at you.
Angered?
No, he doesn't need to yell at you.
Big, big day for Yankees and the Mets. They got the players of the month in the major leagues. Aaron Judge and Eduardo Escobar. How about that?
Well, after this weekend.
Eduardo Escobar.
Crumple it up, throw it in the garbage.
Doesn't matter.
You're not high on it, Eduardo.
Is that what I said, Peter?
No.
I'm sure when he found out about it, he's like, great. Who cares?
Wow. Does any money come with this?
No. I'm just saying his team just got swept. They're not going to win the division now. So is he going to sit there and celebrate in a clubhouse at Citi Field that he won, you know, player of the week, the month, whatever Michael just said?
I would have loved that if they showed it yesterday after the loss. Escobar walking around with goggles on himself, just pouring champagne
right,
on his own.
It's like one of those big Flava Flav like necklaces, and it said September.
Right.
And he's just dancing, pouring champagne on himself.
Screaming like Dave Rothenberg.
SNY Steve Gelb's reporting that Buck Showalter said there's been a little progress on the Marte front, but not enough to think something is imminent.
Mm. I would think best case scenario, Michael, if there's a game one against the Dodgers. I don't think he's going to play against the Padres.
No,
he can't close his hand on the bat, Michael. And no progress has been made over the last couple of days. So what would you bet on, tough guy?
Dodgers.
So what are you giving me heat for?
Peter, did you hear me giving him heat?
I didn't hear heat, no.
You heard negative. And meanwhile, he agrees with me.
You don't understand. I'm at the end of my rope. I really am.
No, this is by choice.
You're not saying
if you want, because you've got the ability.
Don't yell at me.
Tell Flip, I'm not going to Texas. I'm going to pull a Maris. I'm not going to Texas.
Really? I'm not going to Texas when he's about to hit a 60-second home run.
Well, then don't complain.
How would that work out?
I don't know. Fine for whoever filled in for you.
It's a great point.
Wow. Ruka would be doing backflips. I'm not even sure he can do it.
Sweet chocolate morsels.
John doesn't care because he's got the mic. John's in Texas, right?
So what John's
in Texas of course with he Jeff is. Nelson.
Yeah. Jeff Nelson?
Yeah, because Susan is off for the Jewish holiday.
Hand-churned guacamole.
She didn't go do one day?
No.
It's Texas. It's the worst flight. Outside of New Zealand, it's the worst flight in the world.
Because it feels like it should be 2 hours and it's five.
Somebody's got to explain it to me.
I know.
How is it possible?
I go to Los Angeles. It takes me six and change.
And you feel that's accurate.
You can get to California in a little over five. I've gotten to California in five. You can't get to Texas in under four.
It doesn't make sense.
And even if you went to six, how does it take to get in the middle of the country 4 hours, but across the country in six?
It's further south
because it's way down there.
It's way down there. It's south of.
Also, LA. Don, you're exaggerating. It's not 4 hours. It's three and a half.
Well, it depends where you're going.
Well, I was going.
Don only flies to Laredo.
I can only go to Dallas. That's the only hockey team in Texas.
That's a great point. You don't go to the Arlington Archbishops.
The expansion team, maybe the next expansion.
By the way, I got to tell you guys something right now. It's important, so it needs to be said now because I'll get yelled at in the 5 o'clock hour. You guys got to watch Dahmer.
No,
it's unbelievable.
Nope,
it's literally one of the best shows I've ever watched.
That's bold.
The dude, Evan Peters. Anyone here watch Mayor of Easttown? Let me guess.
No,
of course,
we got lives.
Yeah, I forgot. He won the Emmy for Mayor of Easttown. It's one of the greatest acting performances I've ever seen.
So he acts like a guy who eats people.
Yeah, and you find yourself. I mean, the beautiful part about the show is that you love the show, you can't stop watching it, but you still hate Dahmer. You may have moments of empathy or like, wow, what a sad story this is. But you still hate his guts. They don't make you, like, at the end go, well, you know, there's another side to Dahmer. No, he's a nightmare. But the dude who plays him, I'm telling you, you will not regret it. I'm not getting paid for this, by the way. Netflix, you don't pay me for anything. But it's a phenomenal show.
Let's take a brief time out. We'll take some phone calls, go over the Jets and the Giants again with their big wins. And Steve Young's going to join us at 5 o'clock. And we'll go over how we all did with the picks. Not great, at least for me.
Excuse me?
Great.
Some of us did well.
Oh, you had a three-point pick.
Well, he was a two-point pick. I had 5 points. It was my best week.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You were 2-1.
Three.
The one to lose is the 1 point.
That's right. The Packers, they stink.
I was so angry at myself because I love the Cowboys.
Well, and I told you.
Yeah, you did. And I picked the one that I thought would tick you guys off. Instead, it ticked me off.
It was the Cowboys were an absolute lock. I told you both. You both should have put 3 points in the Cowboys. Lock.
Let's take a brief timeout. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your
podcasts. Don, how'd you
do? I got the three. I was 1-2, but I got my 3-point play. I got
three,
the Jets.
Three-point play.
So if you're going to go 1-2, make sure that one's a three. Peter went 2-1, making sure his one loss was the 1-pointer.
That's how you do it right there. Thank you. Thank you to the Las Vegas Raiders. It got very worrisome. I don't know if you were watching the end, Don. I know you like to root against us.
I was going to pick up food listening to that game on the radio.
I know you were.
Because it was your pick.
I know. And by the way, and I'm guessing you cheered late when Denver cut it to two.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, this is perfect. Now they get a couple of first downs, kneel on the ball, win by two, and you're dying because of the hook.
And
whoever thinks of the hook at 2.5.
So, Mike, I don't know if you saw the end of this game.
No.
It gets cut to two with like 5 minutes left. Ball goes back to the Raiders. The line's 2.5, so I'm screwed at this point. The Raiders move the ball down the field, mostly running, and then get a first down just at 2:45. So the clock runs down to just over 2 minutes, and they have to run the play. They run a handoff and get in the end zone. I think if they don't score there, Don,
yeah,
there's a chance.
There's a chance. They might run it anyway, but still.
Because Denver already used one timeout.
Yeah.
They only would have had two timeouts on the other side. So, anyways, it was a great victory. I'm proud of it. I'd do it again.
So now what does 2 points separate all of us? I'm in first, and you guys are tied for second?
No, I'm a couple behind. I'm like one behind Don. Don and I are tied for points maybe, and 2 points behind you. Yes. 14-12-12.
It's going to be Donnybrook.
Yeah.
Well, it usually is, right? It always comes down to the end. It's always a couple of points here or there.
Can I just say, though?
14-12-12.
I just want to say this. I can't speak to what was happening on the show in the years before I got here. But over the last several years, all the yo-yos who were out here, all the experts that are supposed to be good who get paid to do this, I just want to say if you followed along to our show, you've been doing pretty well the last few years. When you look at the percentages, what's a great prognosticator's at, what, 56% or something?
Yeah, if you're at 55, 56, you're making money.
So I would say we may do better than some of those
and
people.
And Bear didn't have Washington. Bear had Dallas, right?
No, he had Washington.
So you didn't have any influence on Bear at all?
They're literally made this pick because you're talking about how the Cowboys were easy money.
Yeah, but he. So I was telling Bear I love the Cowboys, and Bear goes, the line. Why is the line 3? That's weird. I think Washington wins outright. He was wrong.
So we'd be worried about this conversation, Mike?
Worried or make money off of it?
They were so bad yesterday. Oh, my God. And by the way, barely a tone-deaf move from the organization before the game.
When, oh, that's unusual for them.
When they thought it was a good idea to tweet and Instagram a photo of Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder on the field together and say, like, rivals and friends for 24 years. What fan on either team wants to see a picture of these two you-know-whats hanging out together before the game?
I'm sorry. I'm a Jerry Jones fan. I will not take it. I will not take Jerry Jones slander.
No, but it's not the slander. It's
if all you have to do is look across the parking lot from where I am. He's built the most beautiful stadium in the world.
It is a gorgeous stadium. Oh, yeah. No,
I'm sure he's. I'm sure he was the architect on it.
He
too.
Was.
He's done
brick by brick.
But never mind how you feel about Jerry Jones. Like, why would fans care that they're friends?
Well, I would want to see that before a game when we're about to play our rival. By the way, what did you guys think of the Washington uniforms?
Like them.
Didn't
Michael?
Didn't see
them. And you know what? The Giants can't go back. They cannot go back.
I gotta tell you,
this has to be the uniform. Period. Done.
You've recently been a Jersey guy. I'm telling you right now, you got to get for the your home studio, you got to get that jersey, the 80s jersey, Saquon. I thought the 26 Barkley in the old school, there was something about it.
I have the old school Taylor, but he signed it, so I put it up on the wall.
Oh, right.
I got a linebacker wall.
What did he say?
He actually signed it. Vazan Vazan. That's how he signed it?
At the Hall of Fame, he signed it for me.
Wow.
All right. I got Harry Carson to sign an authentic jersey.
Wow.
At the Hall of Fame.
Great man.
And then I've got a Buddle game worn jersey that he signed.
Wow.
So I've got a linebacker wall.
Wow. I've never seen this wall. Can you post a picture of this?
Sure.
I would love to see this.
You have Blake Martinez up there?
I do not have Blake Martinez, no.
I'd like to see you wear the Buddle game-worn jersey.
Yeah, something happened to it, man.
What do you mean?
Over time, it's kind of shrunk.
Well, maybe you've gotten bigger.
No. I'll tweet the picture tonight.
Now it looks like a child's jersey?
Yeah, it's something happened.
Well, how did it shrink? You didn't wash it if it has an autograph.
No, I don't know. Or just maybe football players were smaller back in the day. But take a look at it. He said it was game worn.
Well, you remember back in the day, there'd be those football jerseys where you could, like, see the players' stomachs. It's like they were wearing a crop top.
Remember the Jim Burt? Like, yeah. There was no way you could. That's why he did it, because he didn't want to get held. So he'd have a really tight jersey. It was almost like painted on.
Right.
But no, Saquon would be beautiful.
Gorgeous item.
Now, after watching the Raiders yesterday, are you getting the feeling that Nathaniel can hack it?
Hello.
He's getting a lot of hate around the NFL.
Well, I guess the rust for MVP is kind of going out the door, right?
Yeah, that bet isn't looking so great. Although, he did have a couple of nice balls yesterday.
Excuse me?
But
I would hope every day.
But no, that's not a very good football team.
Yeah, right, but is it because of him?
Through 20 years of the Michael Kay Show, our listeners have become very enthusiastic.
Sure, they have.
About making and wearing customized Kay Show T-shirts. Now we're excited to see new and creative T-shirts at all of our live broadcasts. So now we'd like our listeners to show off their best work and get paid for it. It's the Kay LaGreca Rosenberg by You contest. Now through Friday, October 14th, head over to ESPNNewYork.com, submit your best K-Show custom T-shirt design. We'll select 3 finalists and put them up to a vote to award one winner $2,000 cash.
Wow.
And 4 VIP tickets to the Michael K-Show 20th anniversary party on November 18th. So head on over to ESPNNewYork.com for full contest rules and submit your entry today. I can't wait. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, what are you thinking?
Very good. It was really a must win. They finished the first quarter, like your 3 has said, 2-2. And listen, Zach shook off the rust. What I saw in the fourth quarter is one of the reasons I was hoping they would draft him. And I'm glad to see him do that. But you know what? I got to give the coaching staff credit. You know, that winning drive that gave them the lead. When they got down to, I guess, about the 15 of Pittsburgh, wherever it was, Zach was making plays with his arms, but what does LaFleur do? He calls up three or four straight running plays. Now, they get help with a defensive holding penalty, which gives them a first down. But he ran the ball in the end zone, and that showed me a lot because I was afraid he was going to ask him to throw just one more time, and maybe it could have been dangerous. But at the end of the day, he made steps. He took progress yesterday. And just overall, you know, Pittsburgh is nowhere near what they used to be. I know they're going through a transition period at quarterback, but to go in there and win a game, I'll still call it Heinz Field, even though they don't call it that. To win a place where the Jets has been like a house of horrors for them, to me, it was a good day. And looking forward to the Miami game. Hopefully, Zach can build off of what he did in Pittsburgh.
Well, the Miami game is big just because it's about time this team wins in the division. And also, you don't want to go 0-3 at home, right? You only get 8 of these things, or 9. I got to look at the schedule now with the 17. But, you know, 0-3 to start at home wouldn't be great.
Can't do it.
And
you know what I was disappointed about? Didn't get another Joe Flacco start. I know that Ira.
Listen, I love Ira.
I wanted to jump Ira there, but I said I'm going to hang up and take a cheap shot while he's off.
Because he prepared a really good phone call. I didn't want to ruin it. But I was going to say, the guy that you didn't want to play, the guy that you wanted to sit and watch, you know, Flacco go play.
Now, how good?
Now you love him?
You got to feel so good if you're a Jets fan today. Just seeing that Zach showed what he showed yesterday. Although I do want to say something. This is important.
Uh-oh.
So if anyone can get this to Zach, I need him to hear this.
Zach listens.
We got to get him a new haircut. He looks like a 7-year-old on the sideline when he takes his helmet off. He's got to bring the whole thing down. He looks like a baby. You're a leader of men. Okay?
Yeah, leader of men. It's not his hair that makes him like a baby. He's got baby face.
Well, but you have to know that you have the baby face and at least not have the shaggy cut that makes you look like you're a 16-year-old named Kyle doing a commercial for OxyPads.
I really believe that this is your worst take ever.
No.
I wasn't thinking that when I saw it. I would like to see a picture before I judge Peter.
Okay.
I got to look and see if there's anything. I'm sure you're not the only one who has this opinion. It's got to be something on Twitter.
You want to scar up his face too, Peter? Is that what you want?
No, I'm not saying scar up your face, but, you know, maybe a little stubble if it's humanly possible.
I think he's doing fine from what we hear.
Well, that's a different conversation. I'm talking about leading men, okay? A leader of men.
What is a leader of men haircut?
What is that?
You know what,
from
Andrew?
From a man with no hair.
God, Andrew, that's what makes you so great at what you do. That's a great question. A leader of men haircut would be one of the following. Short hair with a matching sort of beard goatee situation. That, to me, is really, really a good look. Even if he just brought it all down to being a regular cut, not like the big shag on top. I just something, a mohawk. I think a Mr.
A
T.
A mohawk?
Yeah, Mr. T.
Did you see the way every NFL player rallied around him when that rumor about his mom's friend came out? That's how you lead men.
Is that what it
really
was?
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, our boy Dan Orlovsky is trying way too hard today on TV with his outfit, Michael.
Did you see that Dan Orlovsky was holding hands with somebody on TV, too?
What do you mean?
He was. Well, what does that mean? I mean, should I break it down for the people?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get what you mean.
He was debating with one of the debate guys on an ESPN show,
mm-hmm.
and they were arguing, and like the camera, you see, if you look down, they're holding hands on the desk. I think it's cute and a little disconcerting.
I'm going to need to take a look on Twitter and see this.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. You go do that. We'll come back, and then we'll break down the hand held around the world right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Again, I don't want to single out Jet fans. I guess all fans are like this, but specific to the Jets, it's weird how every loss is the end of the world, and every win is like, it's incredible.
Yep.
You know, and I think you just got to, listen, I think the win is great because Zach helped you win. If Joe Flacco had done that, the conversation would be, okay, where are you going to go? But this is the quarterback you're building your future on, who used his weapons. It was big in the fourth quarter. So that's a big win for them. But let's just take each game. Let's win a game at home. Let's win a game in the division. I think this Miami game, it becomes even bigger. But don't let yourself down if he throws three picks and you lose. That's no way to live. All right, you got to let this build. You can't live and die every single week, Michael, especially with this team, because they'll kill you.
I'd also like to amend what I said about Zach Wilson. I think I've made some headway, no pun intended. I think a big piece, Michael, he may not have to change his haircut. It may not do anything. He's got the headband doesn't work. It's the headband. It makes him look like a 20.
That I could see that.
I think the headband. And Don made a great point. When was the last QB that wore a headband?
That was successful.
The Bears did very well.
Yeah, but McMahon wasn't a great quarterback.
They won a Super Bowl.
I
know.
He was a passenger, Jays.
No, please.
No, he was not a great quarterback.
That was
think he was a great quarterback?
No.
Well, what are we arguing with?
You said did well. He won a Super Bowl.
That was Singletary and Walter Payton,
threw out was from 37 years ago.
Right, I was wrapping the Super Bowl shuffle as a 5-year-old when that happened.
So that's when your parents knew there was an issue, right?
No, they loved my – I had to do that damn Super Bowl shuffle for everyone.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Nonsense, didn't they?
They loved me performing. Born in the USA, my two greatest hits at every family event was me performing Born in the USA or the Super Bowl Shuffle.
And you know what? Now I'm going to break it to you, Peter. So they thought it was adorable, right? And they had you perform it at family events. And every aunt and uncle that happened to be there hated it. But they wouldn't say anything because they didn't want to insult your parents.
I don't think that's true.
Nobody wants to see another parent's kids perform.
See, when every time you tell this story, I picture the beginning of Raw. Was it kind of like that? Did you have the one uncle that just thought it was fantastic? It was Samuel L. Jackson.
Right, that's right. A lot of people in that scene. No, I don't think they'd have me do it for randoms at like a big wedding or something. It was more
close
like
close relatives.
It was more like, yeah, but like my grandparents who loved it.
Wow. They loved it. Oh, look, he can speak. That sort of thing.
I was five.
Think it was like it was breaking new ground in terms of talent.
Listen, in 1985, the novelty of a 5-year-old rapping was still pretty cool.
It's, you know what? Even at the age of 43, it's pretty cool.
Thank you. I don't know what that means exactly, but keep going.
Okay, let's go to Bobby in Long Island. Bobby.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Bob.
Okay. I have two quick things, and then I want to hear your comments, please. Alvarez should have been called up into the fire. Should have been called about maybe 10 games before that and getting prepared for, you know, I don't know if it would have helped. You know, it couldn't hurt. Okay. On Buck, you question his decision making. There's no disagreement. He didn't do anything wrong. I think he did one thing wrong. In the first game, why is McGill pitching in the seventh inning? He hadn't pitched really all year, you know, most of the year, or the second half. This is not a game in May. This is for the division title. Why isn't one of his top relievers in there down by 2 runs? They made it 5-1. Then they made it 5-2. It could have been 3-2 going to the ninth with Jansen pitching. And we know that he's very shaky in the ninth inning, especially, you know, he blown 6 saves and 12 opportunities. I thought Buck blew it then. I hear no one criticizing him for that.
Well, I mean, I don't have an answer for you. I've not seen the way he's employed his bullpen or deployed his bullpen all year. I agree about the Alvarez thing. Bringing him up for that series just doesn't seem wise. But it's kind of hard to question Buck. He's had a really good year.
Again, it's a feel. Everybody's available because they were off the day before. So, you know, he wasn't great. May ended up getting the last out. Rodriguez was solid in his. I don't know what was at his disposal. Why he felt what the numbers game said that McGill was the one that worked. I mean, I've trusted the guy all year. Obviously, it didn't work. He was awful. He gave up 3 hits and 2 runs, so clearly he should have gone somewhere else, right? Then he should have went to Lugo. Well, you know, if Lugo had given it up, then he should have went to somebody else. It's hard to really tell, Michael, not knowing all of the numbers off the top of my head, whether it was a huge mistake or not.
Here's the thing somebody I would question, Don.
Listen, he was starting big games for them. When he had all the injuries. I mean, he obviously has faith in this guy.
I thought that you could second guess rejiggering the rotation because Bassett had pitched so well over his last 4 starts. Now you're giving him all this rest. He was supposed to pitch on Friday.
Right.
But they maneuvered it that DeGrom could pitch on Friday so that DeGrom could pitch on Wednesday if they needed that win. It turned out that with the extra rest, Bassett did not pitch well. He had 8 days off between starts.
Sure.
He had no command. You want to second guess that? I guess you can.
But you also would be second guessing if you didn't have DeGrom available the last game of the season, right? If they needed it.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't think anybody went into that series expecting them to get swept. All right. And yeah, you could second guess all you want. They got swept. So clearly he didn't do all the right things. Otherwise, maybe it would have turned out differently. I just watched it and I thought, Michael, that they were better. Like, do you know how many relief pitchers they used almost their entire bullpen in that series, and every single one of them was great. You know, so you always said nothing makes a manager look worse than a bullpen that's ineffective.
Yep.
He brought in
not the pitcher, it's the manager.
Right, so he brings in McGill, it ended up being the wrong move. If he brings in Lugo or he brings in Rodriguez earlier or whatever, he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, if these guys don't get the job done. And all of a sudden, Schnitger looks tremendous because everybody that he brought in got the job done.
Let's go to John in Queens very quickly. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. I know Rosenberg was talking about Zach Wilson and the headband and, like, what good quarterbacks
have wore a headband. Okay, I know.
Mahomes wears a headband.
There you go, Johnny. There you go. That's why I love
you. And by the way, you're 100% correct. And you're right.
Cam Newton's had a great career. Headband.
Great career, Jay. No, that's
he won an MVP.
No, that's fair.
Was it a headband or was it a cap?
Who?
No, it was a headband. Cam wore a headband. I wouldn't say he wore his whole career, but he did rock a headband.
Can I just say this in my defense? Mahomes is great in spite of the headband.
Well, listen.
You know what? You can't lose that.
No. Here's what happened.
I'm right, aren't I, Don?
Here is what happened, Peter. And everybody should.
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
That question was asked by me during the break.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of batted it around and had some fun with it. And then Peter ran with it on the air. That's my fault. I asked the question off the air.
No, we should have done the research.
I'm on the air!
Sure.
I just asked the question because
you two hacks, both of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You forgot Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I was.
Hack.
That is a strong thing.
Find someone better than us.
I can't, but you're hacks.
All right, there's a lot of hacks in the world.
You're the best hacks I can find.
You could pick anybody else to work with on the show. I'll make the trade.
No.
Anyway, I'll go
I
work
want
anywhere.
You guys. I don't
I'll work
working
anywhere.
With hacks.
You want Dave? I'll work mornings. You want Gordon? I'll work at night. Anyway, whatever. You want Anita? I'll go work the lawyer show with Mike Tannenbaum.
The lawyer show?
Well, because he said it sounded like a law firm, the name.
Wow.
All I'm saying is you pulled the headband thing out of your backside, and it was bad, and it made you look bad.
Listen, I'm going to die on this hill. I'm very into Zach. I'm rooting for Zach Wilson. I'm happy for Jets fans. I'm just saying, don't love the headband look, okay?
Really? I'll tell Patrick Mahomes that. We'll be back with a guy who didn't wear it.
I'll tell him right to his face.
I want you to do that. We'll get him on this weekend. I want you to
please.
Tell him. You'll tell Patrick Mahomes that?
I'll tell him right to his face.
Yeah, you don't have that.
You're one of the great quarterbacks I've ever seen. Stop with the headband.
You have no guts!
Stop yourself.
Hack Zach Wilson, that's who you are. Anyway, Steve Young joins us in just a moment. He did not wear a headband. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.